We thank you so much for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is present today. We welcome him in. He is our teacher. He's our revelator. Jesus said he would be. We believe it. All in agreement with that prayer, say amen. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles up to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And we're going to take a look at a message entitled, "You Can't Cover Your Sins, Let God Take Them Away." It's time to stop the great cover-up. People have been trying to cover it up. Adam and Eve was trying to cover it up. God came down to the garden and he said, "Hey, what's been going on down here?" Because they were acting different. You know, when you sin, you act a little funny towards God. And they were acting a little funny. And God said, "What's been going on? Adam, have you eaten of the tree you shouldn't eat? The woman you gave me, she did give me and I did eat." Stop blaming somebody else. But anyway, God noticed something different about him. He knew, and God knew already. He knows everything. But they thought he didn't know because they were running around trying to cover it up, covering up the fig, wearing fig leaves. They're like, "Why are you wearing all that stuff? You want to get poison ivy?" Well, because we naked. Who told you you was naked? Have you been eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You weren't supposed to be eating of that tree. He didn't even know he was naked. Now he's covering up. You know what? God saw it anyway. And he always sees. There's no need to cover up sin. Just repent, turn away from it, and let God take it away. People are always trying to cover it up. Only it's going to come out in light. Now, let's look here. It says in Proverbs 28:13. Let me catch you. Proverbs 28:13. You can't cover up sin and prosper. Proverbs 28:13 says it. It says right here that he that covereth his sin shall do what? But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sins or them shall have mercy. Don't cover up sin. We always miss it and we try to cover it up. You have things going on in the White House. People trying to cover it up. Doesn't matter who's up there. Clinton covering up, Bush covering up, everybody trying to cover up. We all know. Now, and definitely you're not covering it up from God. It becomes obvious. Everything hidden is going to come out in the light, the word of God says us. If you cover up your sins, you will not prosper. Now, did I say go around and broadcast your sins? No. I just said don't try and cover them up. You go and confess them to the Lord, repent of it, turn away from it, then go thy way and do what? Sin no more. Just go on. Get the word of God on it so you can be strong and built up and go on. Don't be worried about covering it up. Now, let's go a little bit further here. I want to look at point number one under the heading on this title. You can't cover your sins. Let God take them away. Our text was Proverbs 28:13. If you cover up your sins, you will not prosper. Do you want to prosper? Yes. OK, we want to make sure we recognize how we shouldn't cover up our sin. And I'm going to tell you the point number one about covering up sin, why you shouldn't try and cover it up is you can't. It's vain. It's futile. You cannot cover up sin from an omniscient God. He knows all. He sees all. Now, you may think you're getting away because your husband didn't see you spend that extra money or your wife didn't see you go buy them expensive whatever you bought. But God is the one you're sinning against, not them. Lying is something that God said is wrong. And you can't lie to God. I mean, that's many times I might have been about to sin or do something wrong. And just because I was raised in church, that consciousness that God knows, you say, well, what's the use? It ain't like I'm really going to get away with nothing. And God said, I see it all and I'll repay. I can't go rob it. Even if you robbed the government of tax money, you think God didn't see you do it? And when you start doing stuff like that, it gets easier to keep doing it. And that's the real danger. You did something once. You didn't get caught. Next thing you know, it's easier. You have guys pull the wool over girls' eyes. She's been fighting. No, I'm going to be a virgin when I get married. I don't have no sin going to do that. And he catch you at the right moment. And, you know, sookie now, you know, you catch you at the right moment. And next thing you know, the next time you're like, well, we did it before. And it's a lot easier for him to say that to her because she's like, well, we did. You didn't die. See, it gets easier to sin when you're going to start sinning. That's why God is, I mean, you see God jump on sin like white on rice. God has stuff like, if you even lust after a woman, you committed fornication with her in your heart, adultery with her in your heart. I'm like, yeah, just looked at her. But he get it right at the start because he know what that's going to end up to. There ain't nobody who didn't do that who ended up raping somebody. They started looking before they got to touch it. God addresses real early. He addresses it as a thought. Let every thought that exalts itself against knowledge of God be brought into subjectivity to the word of God or captive to the word of God. He grabs it before it takes seed. He says, don't think those negative things or they'll get a stronghold in your life. But think things are good, lovely, and pure. Don't think something's wrong with your wife, something's wrong with your husband. You got the wrong one. Don't start thinking that because next thing you know, Satan's going to justify it to you. I guarantee you got the wrong one. Ain't nothing out there but wrong ones. Okay? But I guarantee you got a right when they all can be right, too. You didn't find no perfect people. Yeah, they're wrong. They could have got something wrong. They wouldn't want to be with you if they had something wrong with them. Yeah, they got something wrong. Yeah, of course we all got something wrong with us. But that doesn't mean we can't get along. Like I tell my wife, I said, we're both imperfect. That makes us perfect for each other, doesn't it? We deserve one another, you know. And that makes it good. You forgive me, I forgive you. We're going to make it, baby. We're going to make it together because God got to work on both of us. And you just forgive me for my flaws and my mistakes. I'll forgive you. And you know what? I'm glad I got somebody. We all the wrong one. And we all potentially the right one. Let's look here at this. Turn to John 2. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, not the epistle, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Gospel of John, let's go to chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. John 2, 23 through 25. John 2. And let's take a look at this, the futility or the vanity. It's no use of trying to cover up your sin. You can't. You're trying to hide from a God that sees everything everywhere and even knows the intents of your heart. Now, how can you hide from somebody like that? And people think they're fooling God all the time. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get saved, but I'm really live like the devil and God going to let me into heaven. Is that what you think? God didn't care what you did in 1900 and something, way back when. And then you go, he's going to look at how you lived at the point to when you finally enter eternity and you die. He's going to look at it all together as a whole. And he's going to say, okay, I remember they got saved back then, but they lived like the devil ever since then. That sounds like a candidate for hell to me. Doesn't sound like a candidate for heaven because that person didn't continue. Paul said, you get saved by grace through faith, but he said after that, now work out your salvation. And I was raised Baptist, saved Baptist, didn't get saved again. But as Baptists, we didn't like to hear nothing about work. Right. Working out no salvation. You keep works away from salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But we learned a long time ago, you're saved by grace, which is the Greek word charis, which means acceptableness. I cannot earn salvation. I cannot keep the law. So God decided to give me grace, and grace means acceptableness. Although I was a sinner, he yet loved me and said, you know what? I'm going to declare you acceptable, and you can get saved. But now that I declared you acceptable, you didn't earn acceptableness. This is how you're going to get saved, through faith. Faith without is dead. So therefore, there is an element of salvation in works if when he comes back for you, you ain't done nothing. Excuse the good grammar. I like ain't. I saw it in the dictionary. It means is not, am not, were not, was not. So if you don't know which one, you just say ain't. Okay? It's a universal contraction. I used to tutor English and grammar. I know the proper way, but a lot more students would got good grades if they just use ain't. We all ain't. Anybody don't know what ain't mean? That's a good word. Don't write it on your English papers, but it's a good word. But if you're an individual, well, you've done all these things in God, you're working on for, but you just, it ain't working out for you. You got to go back to the roots and say, what's the base here with the word? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm trying to cover up something that's obviously working against me. Because really, the only person you're fooling is yourself and maybe other people who really have nothing to do with you and God anyway. But you're not fooling the one that matters. You're not fooling God. I'm not fooling God if I cover it up. Confess it to the Lord. Repent of it. Go the other way. And he has no remembrance. He'll give mercy to those who doesn't try and cover it up. He'll give mercy to them. Isn't that great? It says if you cover it up, you're not going to prosper. But if you repent and confess it, he will give you mercy. And God, we've needed his mercy. Like I told people, don't ever pray for God's justice. Because if it's justice, we all deserve to go to hell. We ain't interested in no justice, God. Do not give me my just desert. Give me mercy. Okay? Don't be told, Lord, give me justice, Lord. I don't want no justice. I just want some mercy. Mercy, Lord. And let's look at John 2:23. Are you there? If you're not there now, you'll never make it. John 23. It says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. See, God's not afraid of advertisement. Many believe when they saw something. Many believe when they saw what he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he did what? He knew all men and needed not that any should testify or tell of him because Jesus knew what was in man. Now, how are you going to hide from a God that knows things? How are you going to hide from a God that knows things? We're not going to turn there, but write in your notes also Luke 9:47. Luke 9:47 said Jesus perceived within him. Jesus is a perceptive person. He has the ability to know things about folks that they don't think he knows. I like when he was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus pretty much how's the ministry going, everything all wonderful, just chit chat. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can know why he's into the kingdom of God. Well, he wasn't talking about no salvation. He was talking about how's the ministry going, how's wife, kids, how's everybody, your mother, how's everybody, how's Mary, she doing okay? And Jesus just out of nowhere, he knew some things. Now, somebody who operates like that, they know what you're doing. They know what you're thinking. They know why you did it. The question is, like Shakespeare said, above all else, until thine own self be true. Don't lie to yourself. And we lie to ourselves, and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. I'm not saying think lowly of yourself. I just said don't think more highly of yourself. Okay? Paul did not say you're worm in the dust. Just don't think more highly by thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm above sin. I don't have a sin. I didn't know I sin. I miss it. And you know what? You do too. So I'm not going to jump all over you when you miss it, because I do too. See, to start judging folks, you got to think more highly of yourself, or you got to set yourself in a position of judge before you start judging people. Now, I know I'm better than you, and I just got little sins. You got big ones. So, you know, you need to change. You need to change. What's wrong with you? Pastor Cook was preaching about that last week, and you doing it like you ain't doing something I was preaching about the week before. I know you. I perceive. And God knows all of us, me included. You were preaching about that last week, Pastor Cook. He perceives. So you can't hide it. It's vanity to try and hide it. Why cover it up? Why not just let God take it away? It's vanity trying to hide it. Let's look at another. Let's look at here's another point. Because everything is going to be revealed. That's another reason. It's vanity for me to try to cover my sins. Number one, because there's nothing that can be hid from God. And the other one is because everything is going to be revealed. Turn to Luke 8:17 and let's take a look at it. Luke 8, the Bible tells us 4 or 5 times in scripture, at least 4 or 5, that everything hidden is going to come out. It's all going to come out. Luke 8:17. So those secret sins you have with the internet late at night, those things you do when you're all by yourself and think ain't nobody watching, that steamy back car parked up on Inspiration Point when you're getting inspired and shouldn't be, you ain't married. God sees all that. When God told you to manage that money and budget the money and you going out there shopping for windows and you don't need no windows. I'm just in the mall window shopping. And next thing you know, you come out with everything 80% off saying you had to buy it because you would have bought it anyway. God was trying to bless you financially. He was trying to bless you, but he knows as long as you spend more than you make, you never come to blessing. See, that's sin. If God lays in his heart, if God tells you what to do with his money, it's all he is, right? You are the Lord's. You're dead and buried with Christ, not you to live, but Christ to live in you. Everything he has is yours. You're his, right? So if God says pay the tithe and you trying to find scriptures that tithing ain't for today. I talked to somebody every now and then, they come in here and they said, we know tithing ain't for today. I said, no, I didn't know that. And he started quoting a whole bunch of scriptures out of context talking about giving. I said, that don't even have anything to do with tithing. It said, let every man give as he purposes in his heart. But did it say let every man tithe as he purposes in his heart? Do you know what tithe is? It's a tenth. You can't give an eighth of a tenth of an eighth and call it a tenth. That's why I need to get word tithe and just say the tenth. Because, you know, some churches, they have a discount, 8% tithes. You come in, it's 8%. Come to this church, only 8% tithes. Those are fixed numbers by the Bible. You can't play games with that. And people would love to say it's not for today. The purpose of it is today. It preceded the law. It existed under the law. There were actually 3 tithes under the law. And if you got a question about it, we've got a whole tape series we dedicated out there called The Tithe, Understanding the Tithe. And you read it and you see. I know there's only one scripture in the New Testament that's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That's the one in Hebrew where Jesus said, you know, and that would have been a great time for him to undo it when he talked about tithing. He said, you give tithes to men on this earth, but I receive them in heaven. Since he's already dead, buried in heaven, wouldn't it be nice to say, you don't have to give tithes to men on this earth? That would be a good time to say that. But instead, he said they did. He did. It's the only scripture they talk about after he died. So there's nothing about that undid it. Nothing about it undid it. So we got to stay with the word then, don't we? But I know some people are greedy, and I guarantee you there's nobody who's complaining like that who pays a tenth. They pretend like, well, it's free will, and I would give more. I don't be limited by the tenth. Well, that's such a thing called offerings. That's above and beyond the tithe. You can give whatever you want to give. But people complaining about that don't even give the tenth. They're trying to get 1% or less. But I say do whatever you want to. It doesn't bother me. I'm not your Lord. I don't have to see what you do. That's why I don't stare and like so-and-so ain't tithing. At the end of the year when I'm doing the things, I take a look at it. But I'm not just to look at church overall. I don't be looking like so-and-so don't tithe, so-and-so do tithe. Because I don't know exactly whether you do or don't. I got an idea when I look at them, but I don't remember when I look at somebody here, they tie, they don't. I don't really remember that because I'm not trying to remember that. I'm not your Lord. I want to see if the church overall is basically tithing, and I keep figures on that to get an idea of, because everybody's going to end up getting, everybody can be cursed at the same time or run over on the church. Somebody need to be blessed. Amen. So we need the blessings coming in to people. And I taught the tithing series when everybody was, people, I think we had over 89% people giving. And I said, now that enough people tithe, and now I can teach it without putting guilt or burden on people to make sure they get the full return of tithe, make sure they're tithing in faith. Wisdom. Wisdom. Let's go on here. Now, we said that it's going to be called. Look at Luke 8:17. I found it and dropped it again. Luke 8:17. So many things to preach. Luke 8:17. Are you there? I'm sure you are. Luke 8:17. Let me try and catch you. Luke 8:17. Might be no hope for me, huh? Luke 8:17 says, for nothing. Now, I like to, every time I see nothing, I always think of no thing. For no thing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything that's hidden that shall not be made known and come abroad. How many scandals, excuse me, how many scandals have been blown open that people thought wouldn't come out? We were watching something the other day, my mother and I, we were over to the house, we were watching something. They had some guy on there, and the guy locked these women up. One woman had been locked up for like 32 years. He's a rich guy living in a nice neighborhood. Had locked a, kept a woman locked up in his basement for 32 years and had some more locked up too. It came out. Now, I partake. I don't think they were saved because I think God would deliver them a lot longer than that. But it came out. And you know what? Everybody probably just going to and fro with the man, thinking he just is regular. You don't know what's going on. You got anybody locked up at your house, bro? You like, who? Yeah, what? You know, you be sitting next to folk you don't even know. But it'll come out. It'll come out. Be sure your sins shall find you out. It'll come out. Amen. Are you saying so be it? He said it, not me. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Ain't no use of trying. It's vanity to be trying to cover them up. You know it's going to come out. Everything that's hidden is going to be revealed. 1 Corinthians 3:13. You can't hide stuff from somebody that sees all. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Okay, let's take a look at this. 1 Corinthians 3:13 reads, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of every sort. If any man's work abide which have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, what they're talking about, definitely without question, prior to you entering into heaven or hell or wherever, everything you did, everything you've ever done, if you got by with it or you think somebody died and got by with it, I guarantee you the time of reckoning came where everything they did, their whole life is put up against the fire. And only those things that are incorruptible will make it through. God will judge it. As we say, your works will be tried by fire. So you can have made lots of money, been a corporate person, could have given millions of dollars to charity, but never went into ministry when God called you. Or never was a faithful parent to raise that child God meant to be the next Oral Roberts or Creflo Dollar or somebody. You weren't faithful to what he called you to do. It'll show up zero when it comes to the fire. Now, everything you do in life, particularly things you consider important and of value, you have to stop and think, now, does this have eternal value? Now, I could work in the ministry and do things here at the church and help out, or I can go and get a job that makes another dollar. Now, when it goes through the fire, which one really has more net value? See, we need to think like that because that's how God weighs. He's trying to give you an idea of the scale. And sometimes we are so preoccupied with our own pursuits in the world that God's not asked for all your time, but we're not leaving any of it to him. Not leaving any of it. People say, I'm too busy to volunteer in the church. What are you doing? You can't ever volunteer in any church, even if you go to another church that has services on different days, Saturday morning, Saturday night, maybe Thursday or Tuesday instead of Wednesday. There's no church. You don't have any time to volunteer at all. And usually these aren't people that are out doing tremendous amounts of soul winning up and down the street. There's normally folks don't give a darn about anybody's soul even their own. Amen. Satan's got them deceived and deluded into chasing a dollar. And God already said, you can't serve God and money too. You're either going to love one God and turn on the other one or turn on one God and love the other. You can have money and still turn on it, because you can turn on it by saying, you no longer dominate me. If God say tithe, I tithe. If God say give sister over there $100, I give her $100. Money don't control me. It's all the Lord's. Let it flow however he said, let it flow. Don't be tight. Don't be stingy. Proverbs tells us there's he who holds on to it and comes to lack, and there's he who sheds it liberally but never runs out. Why? Because if God can get it through you, God will continue to get it to you. And that's a principle, give and you shall receive, that people just don't want to get into, because Satan said, hold on, you have more. God said, give and you receive. Just two different philosophies of life. Two different philosophies of life. But one is based on light of the word of God and truth, and it works for you. But too many people are holding on so tight, that's why they come to poverty. And I know it seems foreign to the mind, because when I first got a hold of tithing, I'm like, look, what does God need to do with my money? First of all, I thought it was my money. Then second of all, I was like, what does he need it for? So I was messed up on two fronts. Well, I'm sure being America, it takes money to get the church going. You know, you have air conditioner here. Most of you are happy you don't have a funeral fan and a 1,000-degree temperature in here. But you're like, I told you, I pray and I believe God, but people still don't give us the rent free. They still want money. They just don't care that you pray. They're like, all I know is if you're staying in here, you better come up with some money. And we got some people to work for FPNL and Bell South, and I pray for them. Utilities still ain't giving them to us free. See, because they got to pay Earl. He work at Bell South. He don't want to work for free, so they say they got to charge all us. I don't want to work for free. You know, we all got to do what we got to do. And people be like, oh, you know, what the church need money for? Keep it. It ain't going to bother us. We're going to make it anyway. Just keep it. But it may bother you. Because I always tell people, some people's problem is that God multiplies what they give. But no matter how many times you multiply zero, it's still zero. That's the problem. He multiplies what they give. It'd be nice if it was different, but he multiplies what they give. I didn't say it, but the Bible says, as you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And don't get greedy and say, throw $1,000 in the church and I'm going to get $10,000 back. Don't get crazy. Just stay with the word and do what's in your heart. That's what it's all about. It's about what's in your heart according to the word of God. Read and study. Let's go on here again. We looked at that verse there, didn't we? Luke 8:17. Let's. We were at 1 Corinthians 3:13, weren't we? 1 Corinthians 3, did I read it? Yes. Well, let's go on to Numbers 32. I know you know where Numbers is, don't you? Numbers 32:23. It's back there where that gold leaf is sticking. Crack it out. You start hearing all that cracking. I know what you're saying. I don't spend a lot of time in Numbers myself. Numbers 32:23. Yeah, right before Deuteronomy. Numbers. Numbers 32:23 reads as follows. Are you there? You there? Where are you at? 32:23. Okay, it reads, but if you will not do so, let's go to verse 22, catch a little bit of context. You can do rest at home. And the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterwards you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession. So God's promising somebody be blessed with the land and so forth. But if you will not do as I tell you to do, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Everything you do that's in disobedience to the word of God, it shall find you out. We've heard that many times. The preacher say your sin shall find you out. Now, they may have been using it to be accusing you or something like that, but it is a biblical fact. And I have to be aware of that, and you have to be aware of that, because if we're not cognizant of that fact, we would do things we otherwise wouldn't do if we were cognizant of it. I know God sees me. I'm not hiding. I'm not doing anything hidden from the Lord at all. He's talking about hidden from plain view to other people. Ain't nothing hidden from him. He knows when you're doing it. And if you got the Holy Spirit in you, his presence could leave you in the middle of that. He's not going into sin with you. Jesus talked about it when the presence of God left him when he was on the cross. He said, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think that's one thing Jesus did not expect. He had been in the presence of God forever. God's presence was in him forever. He had no idea of what that would be like. And all of a sudden, I'm sure when they were on the ground looking at him, he done lost his mind. He up there talking, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who? I ain't seen nobody leave him. Who went where? Forsaken him? What? But Jesus knew. And we didn't see any evidence of it. If he hadn't said it, we wouldn't know. He sensed within him that the presence of God left him at the moment that mine and your sins came upon him. Because sin always separates you from God.
Right.
If you jump in the bed with somebody you shouldn't be in the bed with and you start sinning, the Holy Spirit checks it at the door. I'm going to let you do that by yourself. You on your own. You know, you about to get into trouble. I ain't trying to be over there with you and all that now. You can grieve the Holy Spirit in his presence and leave. If you stay over there separated from God, you will fall back into sin.
Right.
God is not crazy. Once saved, always saved is a fallacy. You can decide anytime you want to turn against God. You couldn't commit any kind of unpardonable sin if all sins were pardoned. You can turn against God and break fellowship with God. God, I followed you. You know, I was raised, got saved, got born again, young age. You know, I rolled with that for a while. I ain't like that no more. I went on to college. I got educated out of God. I don't want to do that no more. You know, that ain't even real. That was just a fantasy anyway. There is no God. There's no God. And you think you still saved. Where you get that from? You're not even confessing Jesus Lord anymore. How can you still be saved? You're not living a life commitment. You're not working out your salvation. You don't even care. You don't even go to church anymore. You got mad at some preacher, what he preached, so you gave up all of God because of some man. What, did you think he wasn't a man? Did you think he was perfect? Or some saint in the church who offended you? And nobody offends you, you choose to take or not to take offense. But you chose to take offense, and then you turned against that church and didn't go anywhere else, and you think God's going to think you kept the commandment, forsake not the assembling of the saints, as is the manner of some? Be careful unto thine own self. Be true. I don't want to go. And this is the excuse I use not to go, because when I go, they say things I don't want to hear. Or if it's a church you don't like, go look for another one. Like I tell you, always remembering in a sense of like they said, if they said you had to be at Miami down on the city county building because you want $1 million, but you got to be there at 5:37 a.m. in the morning. There are people who go down Saturday and set up a tent. Because people find what they want to find, do what they want to do. But why would they do that for their God money when they say Jesus is their Lord? They won't even come to church. Makes you think. Kind of makes you think. Now, I'm talking about God, somebody who sees all and discerns the intents of the heart. And there are many things some Christians so-called would do for money that they won't do for God. We might say, well, we got a special crusade. It's coming in 2 months. Can some of y'all take a few extra days off to maybe help with the crusade? But, you know, I got to work. I can't do that. They say we got some overtime at work. Can you skip church for 3 weeks? Sure. You got to look at the intentions of the heart. Now, there are other circumstances. So I'm not picking on anybody. You judge your own circumstances. But you need to stop and think that Satan would work like that. So I'm saying just be cautious of, okay, now what is my motive here? What's really going on here? Sometimes you work the nature of a job where they need you and you have to be there. That's totally different from somebody saying, I got an opportunity to make a little extra cash to go do a little something. That's totally different from somebody who their job requires that. You see what I'm saying, don't you? You see what I'm saying, don't you? All right. That must hit a lot of people because they quiet again. You guys are almost quiet as the morning group when I get on stuff like that. I'm just telling you the way God may see it. I'm saying judge your heart. I'm not talking about judge anybody else because of what you think they're doing. I'm saying the person, judge your heart. The people, judge your heart to make sure that's not your motive. Because I'm telling you, you better please God over men. Please God over men. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's turn to Luke. Let's go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Now, we looked at why it's vain to try to cover it up. First thing is, you know, because there's nothing can be hid from God. Why try and cover it up? Then because it's going to come out anyway. Everything's revealed. Now we're going to look at the high sin would not lessen the penalty. You're still going to pay the price. You're still going to pay the price. Luke 12. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. I'll start a little earlier, but let's go back to 2 probably. Luke 12. Verses. Let's read probably 2, 3, 4 and 5. Are you there? OK, now 2, actually, I almost put it with the point before, but it was kind of redundant. We had enough scripture on it. You know, it's true. But let's read on to 4 and 5 after we get through 2 and 3. For there is nothing covered. Here's another scripture. There's nothing, no thing. There's no thing covered that shall not be revealed, neither anything hidden that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, it shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, here's the part I want to look at on that third point there. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, they have nothing else they can do to you. But I will forewarn you whom you should fear. Fear him, which is God, which after he have killed, have power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, what they're saying is, now, I'm using that scripture because of the motivation, and we'll go Romans 6:23, you all know, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You will still have the punishment, so it's vain to be trying to cover it up, because you'll still have the punishment. The wages, the price of sin, the price that sin pays you, the wages, because you sin, this is your reward. Because you work 40 hours, here's 40 hours pay. Because you sin, here's payday. And the wages of sin is death. It's death. Now, why would somebody do things like that? Because it's very clear. But why would we do that? Well, we might do that because we forget that when we want to please men and we look at how do men think about us, we want to be popular with men. Do they like me? You know, oh, I don't want them to think bad of me. I don't, you know, I know I'm in the service. I need to repent, but you know, I don't raise my hand. I raised my hand 3 weeks ago. I don't want anybody to say, oh, he keep raising his hand. What's wrong with him? Right then, if God is saying, do you want to repent right now? And you say, I will later. Maybe you'll say tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, Lord, not today. I'll choose the Lord then. But today I want popularity. I don't want anybody thinking negative about me. I don't care if I'm out of fellowship with you for a little while longer. When I go home, what I'll do is I'll repent in the closet. I'll put it where I put my sins at, in the closet. No. Openly repent. I'm not saying get up and confess everything you did, because we don't want to know. But the Bible says, confess your sin to God. He is faithful and just to cleanse you of your sins and to cleanse you of all righteousness. Why do we have a prayer room? Why do we even do it? Because some people need to publicly acknowledge that, look, I want to be saved. I want to be right with God. And by raising your hand and we send you a prayer room, the prayer room counselors can help you with it. Because some people just got born again, or they may have been born again a long time, but they're not that well in the word. And Satan may be beating up on them in an area they don't even know a scripture exists to fight that. Maybe somebody's dealing with some kind of sexual sin and they don't know there's a scripture in there. Or somebody's dealing with lust for money and they keep spending it and it's always on their mind. They don't know there's something. Maybe somebody just can't keep a budget. Pastor Cook, I said it, but I can't keep it. Maybe somebody can tell them one of the more obscure scriptures people don't know enough about count the costs before you do it. Maybe somebody can tell them the story of the talents that the three men and a rich man gave them some money and can't. Maybe somebody can tell them the word so that they can meditate it, study it, and then it can overcome it, because it takes the word to drive the devil away in the day of tempting, testing, and trying. When Jesus was tempted, tested, and tried, all he did was spoke the word. He didn't hit him, didn't put on combat boots, didn't put on army fatigue, didn't pray, he didn't do nothing. He just spoke the word. That's right. Satan said something, and Jesus jabbed him back with, and he said, aren't you hungry? Don't you want some bread? It's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, you know, let me try it another way. I'll take you up to the pinnacle of this, and I'll show you all this, and say, look, I'll give you all that. So all of us are Lord's, and the fullness thereof is all the Lord's. You know, Satan be selling you somebody else's land. And folks be signing every day. Yeah, that look good. I want some of that. Only find out later you had that anyway in Christ. But yet you suckered out on him. I'm going to give you a hint. If Satan's saying it, it's wrong. He's called the deceiver. He earned that name. He keeps earning that name. Whatever he says is wrong. He's lying, twisting the truth. He's all, because then he's going to come with Jesus with the word. I want you to jump off this cliff because it's written. Since you're going to quote the word, I quote the word too. It's written, I shall not allow you to dash your foot against a stone. He said, as long as you read the part that says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God either. It's written, if you drink any dead thing, it shall not kill you. But there was a pastor who wanted to prove the word of God, and he drank arsenic in the pulpit and dropped dead. That's a true story. I read in one of the Christian periodicals that was saying it's just stupid. It shocked the faith of all the people at the church because he put faith up on testing God. Did he not read the rest of the Bible? Did he not at least read the temptation? He's like, that Bible, here it is. I'm going to prove it. Lord. What he's trying to do is proud. I want everybody to see how strong my faith is. I'm going to drink something deadly and I'm going to show you how big my faith is. Drank it and died. Because that ain't faith. That's at best foolishness or presumption. You presume God would bail you out, and you was a fool to presume that. I'm going to prove to you. Here it is right here. Everybody sees in the word. It says right there, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall no wise harm you. This is arsenic. How many people agree it's a deadly thing? Look, let me try it on this animal. See, it died. Here you go. Just like the animal. You ain't proved nothing. If anything, you got folks scared to drink anything deadly even by accident. Because they're like, oh, that scripture don't work. But he forgot you can't. If Jesus would have said, okay, it's written, he can't dash me off, I'm going to jump off here. He'd have been crushed up on the ground. He had better sense than that. He's like, he knew what else was written. Thou should not tempt God. God did not tell you if you're drinking deadly things, you live so you can go out drinking deadly things to prove your faith. That's pride. A whole lot of us have drank a lot of deadly things and still alive. So that scripture is working for a whole lot of us. But you ain't advertised it or realized it, did you? You'd be surprised at what you drank. When Paul threw his hand over the serpent and threw his hand in the fire when they had shipwrecked off of Crete, and he put his hand over in the fire and they said, surely this man is not of God and he's guilty, because here it is. He got saved from a shipwreck only to die from a serpent's bite. But he shook the serpent off in the fire. He lived. And they said, surely this man is of God. Because something deadly, everybody knew it was deadly. You don't live from that at all. Paul shook it off and kept going. It didn't bother him. But Paul didn't go around trying to find a snake to bite him. He was not a snake charmer, a snake handler. He was not working in the profession of playing with snakes. Because I always say, you know, personally, I don't feel sorry for people to do stupid things and stupid things happen for them. I'm sorry they're stupid, but I'm not sorry it happened to them. You know, well, what are you? I'm a lion tamer for life. Why? If a lion eats you up and they say, this man got mauled and he's disfigured, I'd be like, well, that was dumb. I'm not feeling sorry for you. You're crazy. There's more professions that go around trying to get into food with snakes and collect poison snakes and poisonous tarantulas. This is my pet. That's Herman. That's Herman. That's my pet. Well, if Herman get out and bite you and you die, I'm going to just say, you know what? It ain't worth going to that funeral. That man crazy. You know? If this funeral is a fool, what am I going to preach, you know? He tempted God and died. Tempt ye not the Lord? I mean, what am I going to teach? That's crazy. Let's go on a little bit further. We're not talking about tempting God. Why shouldn't I try to cover my sin? Well, you know, we read that part, fear not God, because you got to remember, God is the one that is going to actually can put your, he can kill your body if he wanted to, and he also can put your spirit and your soul in hell for all of eternity. No man can do that. And you need to remember that. I want to be right with God because God is more powerful than any man. I want to be right with God and do things God's way because God determines my eternity. When you look at the whole span of time, your whole life is this small on the line of eternity. That small. I don't care if you live to be 500 years old. It's that small in the span of eternity. Now, you are born. You're on this earth and you got that much time on this earth to decide where you want to spend eternity. You got that much time. And if God says, give me your life, I don't care if you only got 10 years left and you're 80 years old when you get saved, I'll still give you eternity if you give me those years. Amen. And people talk about, it's too much to follow God. Go to church every week. I tried church before. I went to three. I ain't like them. You ever been to more than three restaurants? Yeah. You went to some you like, you just don't go there again. That didn't mean you quit eating. Quit going to restaurants. See, this devil's logic. The devil's like, you can hear, you talk to people, you'd be like, they don't even realize how deceived is the word, how deceived they are. Because until I make this plain, some of you don't even put those connections there. You don't even realize the connection, but it's always been there to the Lord. That's right. And it's always been there revealed in the word. That's why we need ministry gifts, somebody to help us see it. Amen. But a lot of ministry gifts help us see it wrong. Amen. Proper grammar help us see it wrongly. But we don't say wrongly, we say wrong. But the word is wrongly or incorrectly. Got to put the lee in there. But you know what I'm saying, one way or the other, don't you? Somebody sometimes helps us see it wrong. That's why we need to look for ourselves. Even though I preach and I think I preach the truth, you want to check it out to see if that's what the Spirit of God says to you. Because if it's not, and you've got two or more witnesses in scripture, don't be accusing the elder without two or more scriptures. If you got two or more scriptures and you say pastor, elder, priest, whatever you call the person, you go there and say, look, I got two scriptures here that it's kind of confusing me because it doesn't seem like what you say it matches that. Can you help me reconcile this? Be respectful. And that minister should answer your concern. Shouldn't say nothing like, bless God, I'm older than you are. I've been saved before older than you. And bless God, you don't be judging your elder. Bless God. Anybody's subject to questioning in the word by the word of God. Because somebody's trying to deceive you when they don't want to answer your questions if you got two more scriptures. And I always say that because I could say this and everybody's coming up with their opinion. Pastor, I just didn't like what you preach. Whoop-de-doo. I'm not talking about sharing your opinion. I don't want to know all that. But if you got two more scriptures that you can prove them wrong, I want you to show it to me because the Bible commands you if you see a brother taking in a fault. You restore the one in faith. Faith based on the word of God. Always begins with the word of God, ends with the word of God. If you got the word of God, now you study it first because you don't want to show it to me in the first verse. I say, you're reading the Bible upside down. It didn't say that. You know, you don't want to be something that easy. You want to have looked at it and studied it out yourself. Okay? And if you study it out to the confidence of your heart that you're right, then you can come and then I'll be happy to change. Because I have to be under the word of God just like anybody else. And I don't know everything. I don't know. I've preached things wrong before. Like Paul said, I did it ignorantly. But I preached things wrong. I was listening to a tape the other day, and the tape was on there, and I was saying there, some crazy ministers talk about what you can't eat pork, but you can't eat it because the Bible says so and so. And I went back and looked at those scriptures, and later, I was like, that was wrong. I was looking at those scriptures the way they were taught to me. I was preaching what had been preached to me. I had never studied it out. And when I got to where I studied out, I found like I was preaching the total opposite. Preaching the total opposite. And that's shocking. Some of you now, I hear it getting quiet. Like, what's wrong with pork? What's wrong with pork? Just get the tape series out there, Be in Health. And the last four tapes, actually, just have all the scriptures on it about why God said don't eat pork and then how you can't find when he said start eating it again. And then four scriptures in there that people misinterpret. Don't say that. Okay, so you get the tape if you're interested in it. Other than that, have your ham sandwich. Be happy. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. I'm the same. Doesn't bother me at all. We ain't got to get in strife over it. Ain't that important. Ain't nobody going to heaven or hell. They might go to heaven earlier, but they ain't going to heaven. They ain't no heaven or hell issue, okay? We ain't going to get into it to that point. You with me, right? But if we fear God, if we don't fear God, but we fear man more, we'll try to cover up because all we're really concerned about is what men think of us. That's all we're really concerned. So that's all we're concerned about fixing. We're not concerned about what's really happening on the inside of us. We're just concerned about how people think. And really, if you stop and think in the society we live in, that's what it does to us. It causes us to be motivated by the Joneses. I want to be like the Joneses. I want everything like the Joneses. Why do we have to be like the Joneses? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. You're fine doing what God said do. But we run behind people and we don't even check to see if they're going to heaven or hell or please or not please the Lord, for we decide to run behind them. We're leaders, not followers. That's what I tell my kids. I say, look, you be a leader. Now, everybody's got to learn to follow. So I'm saying don't be fighting with folk and you can't follow nobody because you got to learn to follow before you learn to lead. But I said, you be the person who's equipped to be able to be in charge, to be able to do things. Otherwise, you know, like kids, like I was a leader. I was raised leader. And maybe it's just my personality. But wasn't nobody smoking, drinking going to draw me into nothing. We were back in the garage and some of my friends there I play with, they got all their weed and stuff. Oh, you ought to hit some of this. You're going to be funny. You be live on this. I said, I'm live enough, dog. I don't know. Mm-mm. Whereas a weaker kid would have been like, well, you know, I don't want them to. Oh, you wuss, man. Oh, you this, man. You this. You know, okay, I'll try it. And next, you know, you high and your life all messed up. Right. I was enough of a leader that when I had those opportunities, I didn't take them. Amen. And I had them. I was opportunity. I used to date some girls and some girls was wild and I wasn't wild. And you find out they're a little wild. And you're like, I ain't trying to be nobody's daddy now. Now, of course, if your boys see that, oh, man, you gay. Oh, man, you wimped out. You did all this. I don't care nothing about you. Say what you want to say. You didn't want to be thought of bad. You didn't go out and advertise anything that you didn't want people to know. But you ain't got to go by that either. Who are you to me? I'm still who I am, whether you're my friend or not. I love you, but I can love you just as well at another church. It ain't going to bother me, none. See, but people also caught up when they got to have. I can't let nobody think bad about me. I'm mad because I think this brother thinks bad of me because the way he looked at me last week. Brother, did I do something wrong? Can I change? Well, you know what? I better preach different next week because I better say something he liked. And some preachers actually drawn to the person who's controlling them just to make sure that person's happy. You preach the word and make sure God's happy. If it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, see ya. It's no big deal. You have got to please God. That's the only way you're going to be free because God's the only one stable enough that you can know what he wants and be accepted all the time. You get with folks, they want this today and want that tomorrow. And you went and did what they wanted last week. Now they don't want it no more. You just, I'm trying to please them, but they're just driving me crazy. They will. Because God's the only one's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Everybody else changes. And you can't, if your life is, if somebody else is the barometer of your life, that'll drive you crazy. How are you going to please unstable people? How are you going to please wavering people? The best you could do is just keep running after them, trying to catch up. And life's too short to be chasing folk around. So forget about the opinions of men and be concerned about the opinion of God, because he is the one who can put both your spirit and your soul in hell. Do not cover up your sin. Just repent. You'll get mercy. Because you know, as they didn't say some of the time, if you really repent and turn away from it, you get mercy all the time. Now, I'm not talking about, I know God gonna have to forgive me, so, you know, we just gonna do this and we'll repent later. Have you ever tried that and then tried to face God later when you want to repent, when you know and he knows you tried to run a con on him? Somehow you can't repent because you feel so bad that you just, you know, you're not sorry. You know, you planned it. It was premeditated sin with malice aforethought. And you're guilty in the first degree of it. And you can't repent till you now repent of trying to con the Lord. Let's talk about a few people trying to con the Lord. I got to throw this in there. I didn't get that to the morning group, but I got to throw it in there. First of all, was Adam and Eve with them leaves trying to cover up. Then there was some of our favorite folk. Turn to Acts 5 real quick. Yep, I'm going there. Ananias and Sapphira. Lordy, lordy, lordy. I mean, let's just go to the New Testament for a while. Folk like us. Ananias and Sapphira. How is it that you conceived and plotted to lie to God? Don't you know he sees everything? How you going to try and cover? Are you stupid? We were stupid. Yeah, they were stupid. Too late to repent. Acts 5, verse 1. Acts 5, verse 1. Let me get there with you. Boy, I tell you, some folk just won't learn but the hard way. You can learn through the school. You can learn through somebody else's experience. Or you can learn through the school of hard knocks and your own experience. And some people, like I say, you're just hard headed. You ain't got one way to learn but school of hard knocks. Why you got to do everything the hard way, boy? I do it all the hard way. But I tell you what, you do learn. Let's go to verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now, in this time, boy, they were communists. They had a communal type lifestyle where they put everything in a pot and divvied it up, and every man got out as he had need. So they had communal living. Now, they come together. They didn't make people put in the pot. Mind you, this is the key point. God did not say, give all your possessions to the apostles. They said every man put in as he want to put in. And they had some land and they sold it. And they said, look, now some folk put everything in, but we don't know by thinking we ain't put everything in. Nobody told them they had to put everything in. But they're like, we want to be like this, but we want everybody to think we like that. So let's get this scam running on God and the Holy Ghost. Let's just say we gave it all, but let's put the rest in our back pocket so we can get the adulation and the praise and the popularity and the praise from people that we gave it all. But let's not be those who give it all. Let's just try and get the respect of those that gave it all. But we ain't got the heart to give it all. But let's try and get people to think we got the heart to give it all. That's the problem, the lie. God says liars shall find their place in the lake of fire in Revelations. The deception was not necessary because they weren't required to give it all. But at this time, they had sold a possession. Verse 2, and they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy. They like, she knew. He ain't pulled this one by itself. She knew she was privy or had privileged information to it. And she brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here it is. Here it all is. We in the group that gave all. Let us go stand in line with the gave all people. We all gave. See, we gave all. We got a back pocket full of money, but we gave all. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath whom? Why have Satan filled thine heart? Now, Ananias didn't have to ask Satan to do it. He did. Satan was coming to do it. He's always seeking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
Amen. Satan is looking for you to be weak.
Yes.
So he can exploit your weakness. Wednesday night crowd, Satan's opportunist.
That's right.
Remember, we're talking about the devil on Wednesday night. And he is an opportunist. He takes every opportunity he can to pull you down and to turn you away from God. If it wasn't for Satan, you wouldn't need to repent because you wouldn't be drawn the other way. And he kept back part of the price. His wife was privy. But Peter said, Ananias. Now, how did Peter know that? My guess is he had a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. I'm sorry. My guess is he had a word of knowledge. Divine insight into the mind of God concerning things present and things past. I think he had a word of knowledge in operation. And the Holy Spirit told him, he's holding back. He's holding back. Sometimes I'll be counseling the Lord and say, he's lying. I don't tell them you're lying unless it's necessary. But I know they're lying. That's why a lot of times folks don't want to come counseling. Because you can't lie. If God gets in the situation, we know what's going on. And he kept back part of the price, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? Now, he's not really asking why Satan filled his heart. He's asking, why did you let him? Well, you know better than lying, Ananias. Now, Satan's the one who did it. He mentioned Satan, so we know who's the instigator. Who's the one, who's the initiator of Ananias' downfall? Just like he's the same deceiver and initiator of your downfall. He gave him a bright idea. You know, we don't have to give it all. Because surely God hath not said. Like you told Eve, God hath not said you can't eat it. Yes, he did. Well, God just jealous. He just know when you eat it, then you're going to be like God yourself. That was a lie. It wasn't true. It's not true when he told Ananias this fire. You can keep it back because it ain't like nobody's going to know. He forgot all about Jesus said, all things that are hidden should come out in the light. He didn't remember. And when you don't remember, you have problems. If you don't remember, by his stripes, you're healed. If you don't remember by his blood, you can receive forgiveness. So instead of getting it forgiven, you try and cover it. You forgot that the blood had taken it away. Why walk around with it? Why cover it up in shame? Just get it out in the open and go on. To the Lord. Just tell the Lord. Confess it. It's no longer there. God has no remembrance. As far as the east is from the west. Why not do that? Satan still say, cover it up. Cover it up. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remaineth, was it not your own? Wasn't it yours? You can do what you want to with it. And after it was sold, was it still not your power to do what you want to? Give 50%, 10% and all, whatever you want to do? Then why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? Because see, the tithe, when you don't tithe, you don't rob man. You rob God. The Bible says in Malachi 3, how have you robbed God? You robbed him in tithes and offerings. But bring you all the tithes in the storehouse that there might be meat in his house. Because it needs to be meat in his house. May not be as many people here if there wasn't no air in this building. Some people go to church that doesn't teach the word if they got air instead of go to one that does teach the word, don't have no air. That's just the way people are. Not you all, but some of the new people that may be coming in and not that mature as you all are. You all will still come, even if it's 90 degrees here with a fan. And you walk in love and wouldn't complain or nothing, would you? I think the air is here for who the air is here for. God knows some things about us, doesn't he? You guys, I have a little church down there, Pastor Good. They ain't got no air. They ain't doing nothing for Jesus. You know you say it. I'm not going to call your name. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but you lied unto God? He forgot about that. You can't lie to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. I think he died of a broken heart and guilt and shame. Because, see, now, I was reading a commentary, and a commentary said God killed him because he lied. I don't see nowhere in the Bible where it says killed. It says he fell down. Why would you fall down? Oh, God, I'm sorry. And then just died. Probably anxiety, stress, guilt, remorse. His sin took him out. The wages of sin is death. God didn't kill him. We see nobody, no lightning bolt or nothing strike down. It says, hearing these words, the word, the power of words, he gave up the ghost. It doesn't say the ghost was taken from him. The ghost was another for spirit. He gave up life. He gave up the spirit. Just like the old Indians would go when they wanted to die, they'd go off to a cave and give them a week and they'd be dead. They just give up the will to live. People in the hospital, I can't take the pain anymore. I don't care about dying. They just give up the will to live. A few days to dead. He felt such guilt, such remorse, such shame. Whether he made it to heaven or not, I don't know. But he felt such guilt, such shame. He just was overcome. He was overcome. He was grief stricken. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these. I guess it would. If we ask the question, who tithes, and then you guys come up here lying and a few of you drop dead, I guess the rest of you don't tithe, wouldn't get great fear upon you, wouldn't you? That would do that, wouldn't it? But I ain't saying God have nobody drop dead, nothing like that over that. But I'm saying this is still New Testament, so realize these things could happen. It's still New Testament, so don't be lying to the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm saying. Let's stay with the point, not put other points on it. Do not lie to God. Unto thy own self be true, and unto the Lord be true, because it doesn't help. It's futile to lie or cover up to somebody who knows everything. Don't do it. That's what I'm saying. That's the point of the message. And don't walk around with that sin. Cast it over in the Lord. Confess it. Repent of it. And get rid of it. Soon as the Holy Spirit reveals to you you're doing something wrong, repent. Soon as it comes to your mind, I'm preaching a sermon today. Today at the end of the sermon, we're going to give people a chance to repent. Repent. First opportunity. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Verse 6. Are we in 6 yet? Okay. Father Ananias hearing these things fell down, so forth. And all the people that heard it were afraid. It was obvious. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours. Was that a church service or what? We were in the crusade. We go a little bit over and people start looking funny. Everybody did good this time, but we actually added an extra day. But I'm always watching it because some of y'all get funny if we go a little bit over. And I said, look, if they was in church, they was in there a long time. Had time for him to die, bury him, come back, and his wife died and go bury her. I don't know when that service stopped. Some of you that have known missionaries or been overseas, they'll be having church 5-10 hours in Africa because the people are hungry for the word. The missionaries go over there, they'll preach you dry because they want the word. We got more word in America than most people. We've, like one person said, we've forgotten more word in America than most people in the world have ever heard. That's how abundant the gospel is here. Now, some funny stuff mixed with it, but the gospel is in all that, too. It's on TV. It's on radio. It's on DVD. It's on cassette tape. It's on satellite. You can get it. It's on billboards. You can find the word all over the United States of America. And there's places you go. You better be underground, because if you come on top of the ground, you're going to be martyred on top of the ground. They will kill you for having a Bible in certain places of China. And we have them, may have 3 or 4 of them. Dust on them. Gold leaf had never been cracked. And we talk about we having a hard life. It's the president's fault. It's your fault if you're having a hard life. Get in the word. God is the source of blessing. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, she came in. She was sticking to the lie, being faithful to her husband instead of God. That doesn't mean don't be faithful to your husband or don't be faithful to your wife. But if they go against God, you got to roll with God. And Peter, otherwise you suffer the fate of your husband or your wife. And Peter answered unto her, now look, I'm going to give you a chance. He ain't say it like that, but he knew, Peter knew what was up. He knew the lie, but he wanted to give her a chance in case her husband had kind of tried to play the I'm the man of the house, he got to flow with me kind of thing on her. He gave her a chance to come true, come clean, gave her a chance to confess. Because he could just say it, your husband's gone, you gone too. He could just say it that, but he said, let me give her a chance to repent. Let me give her a chance to say, he made me do it and get clean. Let me give her a chance to say it. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Shouldn't have said it. My husband told me to say so much, but I ain't going to say it. No, we didn't sell all. We got something good. You can live. And now you get all the money because he's dead. But ain't what she said. She backed him up in the lie. She backed him up against God and lying to God. She went with her husband against God, her wife against God, his wife against God. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have both agreed together to tempt? Now he says tempt. Before it was lie to the Holy. Now they talk about tempt God. Let me just see if God really does know all. Let's see if he know this. He don't know this. God don't know what I'm doing in his backseat. He don't know what I'm doing. Let's just see if he going to do something about it. So now they tempted. Same act is called tempting, disobeying. You add all the rest of the list to it. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit? Behold, the feet of them which have buried. He's buried. Funeral over with. Feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. He told her straight up, say your goodbyes, because they're going to carry you out of here. You ain't walking out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. And probably looked around, what, everybody dying up here today? Shoot. Like, we just took one out. What kind of service is this? And yield up the Holy Ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, they buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon. Now, fear is reverential respect. See, we need something like that in the church today. Not folks dropping dead, just something of that caliber. Because, see, people don't respect God. I thank God we've got patient people. You know, I was out in the hallway today when service was going on. It was full of patient people. Everybody was waiting to come in. Nobody was striving. Nobody was acting crazy. Everybody just like, when the doors open, we get in. Fine, not a problem. But sometimes we had crazy people. Now, it's some of them folk that just don't understand the way things work. This is the kind of people you need. Let's go here one more time. Now, I'll wind this up. Where are we at? We finished with verse 9. And Peter said unto her, okay, then fell down straightway at the feet, yielded up to ghosts. They found her dead. And they care, and the great fear, great reverence, a great respect to reverence the things of God, to respect the move of the Holy Spirit, to respect the presence of God in your life. You don't want to sin because you don't want to have to say, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani. You don't want to say, why, God, have you forsaken me? You don't want to have to say that. You want the presence of God in you. You want to stay in his presence. You want to live in his presence. You don't want to do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you get up and you say, I'm going to church, then you get up and say, I'm just watch church on TV. You don't want to do that. You want to get up and go to church. If you belong to a church, if you don't, do whatever you want to do. But if you belong to a church, you're supposed to be where those saints you belong to a gathering. You got something to put in. There's something of you that's supposed to be put in. Maybe you're supposed to volunteer. That's going to be put in because all the leaders now understand clearly, and those who work in leadership and the ministry, that you can't get as much ministry done when the people aren't there. Everybody in here, all the quarter, I listen to them. I say, now you know what I know. Because at one time they were my problem. But now they understand because they got their own problems. They understand that you can't get done what you need done if people don't follow policy, pay attention and listen, and if they're absent. You can't use anybody that's not present. Well, I sure would love to pull that 8-foot center off the bench to use him in this championship game. Oh, he's not here today. I think he said he was tired. Well, just go stand in the lane and block up something, okay? No, I'm at home watching TV. God is trying to run a church with a bunch of absentee saints. This one's missing. That one's missing. That one's missing. Everywhere where there's a seat, it should be a behind on it. We got more seats for people to hear. It should be somebody sitting there. So we got to believe them in. We have to invite them in. We have to do our part to put them in the seat. God didn't make a seat for no reason. The churches should be to capacity and busting over at the seams. Because there ain't no shortage of sinners, you know. There ain't no shortage of sinners. There's no shortage of folks that need to be hearing the gospel message. There's no shortage of people that needs to get to know for the first time about Jesus what today we're going to take time to remember. They need to know it for the first time that he saves, that he heals, that he prospers. And he's a good God and he wants to be a blessing to you. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today and for the wisdom of the Spirit. Father, we thank you so much that as we come together.